all the time. Okay, good morning. Today's daf, as with all during the month of Nisan, is sponsored by Paul and Kathy Pollock in memory of Sal and Florette Pollock, Sarah Bas Avram and Shmuel Ben Zachariah. The Neshama should have an aliyah for Mar Talmud Torah. Okay, this morning's daf is daf Yud Aleph, and we're going to be picking up seven lines down at Tanur Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Me'am Haaretz. So this is a pasuk that's written by the topic of a yachid, of a regular individual who brings a carbon chatas. It says, Nefesh achas secheta b'shkago me'am ha'aretz, that if a person, if an individual, if a soul sins by accident, me'am ha'aretz, from among those who are from the am ha'aretz. So the lima that we're going to learn out is prat l'mashiach, that when it says me'am ha'aretz, the way Rashi learns is that mem says from the am ha'aretz, but not all. Others understand that the Am Haaretz excludes someone who would be the Kohen Mashiach, or the Limud continues, Me Am Haaretz Prat L'Nasi. So we say that those words, Me Am Haaretz, from among the Am Haaretz, excludes the Kohen Mashiach, and also excludes the Nasi, who we know is the king. So the Gemara asks as follows, V'halok far yatsu Mashiach lidon bepar bepar, and Nasi lidon besayir. So the Gemara asks, what did you need to tell me a limud for? Obviously, I know that a Kohen Mashiach and a Nasi are excluded from the regular din of a Chatas because they have their own carbon, that a Kohen Mashiach has the carbon of the par that he brings, his bull, and the Nasi brings his Sayer. So you know that they're excluded. Why do you need a special limud to tell you? So the Gemara answers, Sheyachol, because I might have thought, Mashiach, that the Kohen Mashiach, El Helem Davar Im Shigigas Maisim, may be par. So I would have thought, okay, that's fine. He has his own special carbon. But, so therefore, when the special carbon applies, it applies. But Al Shigigas Maisa, Lechude, may be Kizbo Sira. But I might have thought that when he, and so we know that the par that the Kohen Mashiach brings is only when he makes a mistake in his judgment, that it's Im Shigigas, it's Shigigas Maisa, that with something that he makes a mistake in his calculation. So we say, okay, when that applies, it applies. But when it doesn't apply, and all he did was he didn't make a mistake in his calculation, but he simply did something unintentional, like, for example, ate by accident a piece of chalev. So you might say, so where special carbon applies, it applies, and where it doesn't, the regular carbon applies. So Tamalomer, therefore it says, Me'am Haaretz, the pasuk says, Me'am Haaretz, Prat L'Mashiach, Me'am Haaretz Prat L'Nasi, that the words Me'am Haaretz excludes the Mashiach and it includes the excludes the Nasi, to tell you that the regular carbon never applies. Even when the special carbon does not apply, they're not in the regular category of someone who brings a Chatas. Now you'll notice that the Gemara says the answer having to do with the regular, with the Mashiach, but it then throws in the part about the Nasi at the end. So it references both the Mashiach and the Nasi. So the Gemara says, Tenach Mashiach. Okay, so that makes sense what you're telling me about the Kohen Mashiach, because in fact, as you pointed out, he has a special carbon that applies when it applies, and when there's no special carbon, then he has nothing. But El Nasi B'Shigigas Maisa Hu D'Maisi. But that's not a good answer for a Nasi, because in fact, in other words, the Nasi, it does apply when his special carbon doesn't apply. So say, okay, we know he has a special carbon regularly, and he does not have a special carbon on earth, and he still is relevant. Just continue to say that it's because he is chayav a carbon on Shigigas Maisa, that you should say, so therefore, in other words, your answer doesn't apply. The answer you gave by Mashiach, does not work by a Nasi, because there's no distinction between Shigigas Maisa and Shigigas Maisa and Helam Davar. In both cases, he's Chayav, and therefore the Limud, Me'am Haaretz, would come to tell you that his special carbon applies, and the regular carbon does not apply. So, Amar Rav Zvid, Mishmei Derava, Hachu B'Mai Askinan. So I'll give you the case that you need to learn, that you need a Pasuk to tell you that a Nasi is not relevant to the regular carbon of a regular chatas, and only his special carbon. Kegon, what's the case? Shalho kezayas chelev kishu hedyot, that he ate a kezayas of chelev, which has a chi of kares when he was a regular person. Vinismane, and then he was appointed to become the king. Va'achakach nodolo, and afterwards it became known to him that he ate something that was chelev, and therefore he might be chayev. So Sokodai Techamina, I might have thought nicey kizbo sira. I might have thought that he should bring the carbon that a regular person would bring who's not a king, Kamash Malan. Therefore, it comes to tell us that Me'am Aretz, that the Nasi would not bring the Kizba Seir of a regular thing, even though he did the Avera when he was a regular person, because of the language of the Pasuk Me'am Aretz. Now that case should sound familiar because we dealt with it previously, and the Gemara is going to say, in fact, Hani Chalurib Shimon Da'azal Basa Yediyah. So he says, okay, that answer is a good answer according to Reb Shimon, who says that generally we go after when he knows about it, meaning that the knowledge and the action should happen while he's in the same category, and here it happens in separate categories, so you have to exclude it. El Rabbanan, but according to Rabbanan, the Azli Basar Chata, but according to the Rabbanan, who we learned that they look at solely the question of what status was he in when he did the Avera. And since in this case he was in the status of a regular person when he did the Avera, you would think that he should be chai, that they would say he would be chai of the carbon. So therefore, what case, what case are you coming to exclude? Because in fact, according to the Rabbanon, he would bring that carbon. So we say, okay, the Nasi, when he has a special carbon, he brings it. But in instances when it doesn't apply, for example, where he found out, where he did the Avera when he was a regular person, you would say he still brings it according to the Rabbanon. So what's the Chiddush of a Me'am Aretz that's coming to exclude him? So rather, what's the case where Nasi is excluded? Elam Rezvid, Mishmei Derava, Hachu B'mayaskina, and here's why we need the Pasuk Me'am Aretz to exclude the Nasi. Kigon Sha'ocho Chatzi Kezayas Chelev Kishu Hedyot, that he ate only half a Kezayas of Chelev when he was a Hedyot. Now obviously for a half a kezayis, that's not yet the shear that he is chayev kares. V'nismana, and he becomes appointed king. V'shlimo, and he finishes eating the chalev. So he was having his steak or whatever it was. They told him, you became king. He says, very nice, and then he just kept on eating. So he ate chatzi kezayis before he was a king. He ate chatzi kezayis after he was a king. V'acharkach nodolo. I'm sorry, and afterwards he was informed to say that you ate collectively a full kezayis of chelev, half when you were a regular person and half when you were a king. So I might have thought nitztarev v'naisi kizbo seira. I might have thought that look, at the end of the day, take a look at the chatzi kezayis that he ate. Look at the two chatzi kezayisim, the one before he became king and one after he became king, and say that he should have to bring a regular carbon. And so you might think that he should be chayav in that case. Kamash Malan comes the pasuk to tell you, Me'am Aretz, that a nasi is excluded. So it's coming to, that is, the Gemara concludes, the reason why it needed the pasuk Me'am Aretz to exclude a nasi is to tell you that, these aren't, that you might think that they should come together in order to mechayav him a regular carbon. Kamash Malan does it. Rashi points out, once you're saying half and half, why not say that, and the Gemara says that we think that maybe the second half should come to include that he brings a regular carbon. Maybe the first half should contribute toward him bringing the special carbon. So Rashi says no, because the pasuk that we're talking about, Me'am Haaretz, is written by the case of a regular carbon. So that's what we would have thought, and therefore the pasuk comes to say Me'am Haaretz. So that's the conclusion. The reason the Kohen Mashiach has to be excluded is because you might have thought that when a special carbon applies, it applies, but when it doesn't, he should bring a kizbo seira. Answers the Gemara, no, Me'am Aretz, that when his regular carbon doesn't apply, he's not in the category of, when his special carbon doesn't apply, he's not in the category of a regular person, he doesn't bring. And in the case of a Nasi, it's coming for a much more specific case, where you had Chatzi Chelev, but when he was a Hedyot, and Chatzi Chelev when he was a Nasi, and it comes to tell you that those do not combine, and therefore, the pasuk Me'am Aretz excludes him from the category of a kizba and sira, and he would not bring any carbon in that case. Okay, boy minei rava mei Rav Nachman. So this is a kind of a continuation of the case we just outlined. that Rav asked Rav Nachman the following question. Would his becoming a king interrupt? So Hechi Dami, the Gemara says, what's the case? Kigon she'achol chatzi kezayis chelev. This guy's even worse. The first guy we said he didn't eat, he just continued eating after he became king. But this guy, she'achol chatzi kezayis chelev, he was eating a chatzi kezayis of chelev, kishu hetia, when he's a regular person. V'nismane, and they told him, oh, you became king. Va'avar, and then he abdicated the throne, he said, forget it, I'm not king. V'shlimo, and then he just went on eating. And all this happens, obviously, toch kedei pras, achidus pras, so it's not a very long shir, so it's, he had a quick day. He was a regular person, he became king, he gave up the kingship, and then he finished eating the second half of the chelev. So the question is, so the Gemara says, hasam hu dulo mitztaref, the achli paga kishu hedi, the paga kishu nasi. So maybe you say, we just finished saying that when he ate half a kezias when he was a hedyot, and then he ate half a kezias when he was a king, that those do not combine. So you might say, in those cases, it doesn't combine. Aval hacha, the idividi kishu hedyot, idividi kishu hedyot, achle mitztaref. So he says, but maybe you'll say here, so what happened there? That half of the kezias was eaten when he was a regular person, half the kezias was eaten when he was a king. Those are really two different people. That's how Rashi learns that it's as if it's a different person. So you would say in that case they don't combine. But here at the end of the day, because he ate the second kezias after he already ceased to be the king, so you would say when he ate the first half of kezias he was a regular person, and when he ate the second half of the kezias he was a regular person. So therefore, those should really combine. That's one side. Odomor, maybe, loshna, it makes no difference. At the end of the day, his becoming a nasi makes him into a new person, so therefore, he was a regular person. A nasi made him into a different person. Now he switched back to become a regular person, but at the end of the day, he's a new regular person, and those would not be mitzarif. So my, what would be the halacha in that case? So the Gemara says, Tifshot lemeha da amr ula amr Rabbi Yochanan. So maybe you can learn the answer to that question from this that Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. As follows. Acho chelev. So you had a guy who ate chelev. He ate it by accident. And when you eat chelev, if someone eats chelev by accident, the hefresh carbon, they're supposed to bring a carbon chatas. And what happened? Vahamir. He decided that he was going to become a mummer. He's no longer interested in keeping the halachas of the Torah. We'll discuss a little bit further on what does that mean. So he decides that he's no longer Jewish, or he doesn't want to be bound by the laws of a Jew. And the halacha is that someone who's a mummer is not able to bring a carbon. In other words, we would not accept a carbon from a mummer. We'll learn more about this. But what happened? So he did a mistake. He felt bad, he was mafresh a carbon. Then he decided, you know what, I'm not interested in this whole thing. And then v'chazer bo, he did tshuva, and he decided that he wanted to bring the carbon. So we say, ha'ova nidche yidache, that since there was a period of time that he was a mummer, and a mummer is not relevant to a carbon, so therefore it invokes the rule of dichoy. The rule of dichoy is the idea that if there's some period that the carbon becomes inapplicable, then it is permanently inapplicable, and he cannot use that carbon that he separated. So therefore, what would be the comparison to here? We're saying that when someone's in a category of the carbon, they cannot bring the carbon, that when you come back to your original status, it's already pushed off, and you can no longer do it. So therefore, in our case, we talked about he ate half a kezias when he was a regular person, then he became a Nasi, then he was no longer the Nasi, and we're trying to say that those should be Mitztarev. That's what we said. And the Gemara is now supposing that just like someone who becomes a Mummer, and once he becomes inapplicable to the carbon, then even though before, in other words, he made a mistake, he wanted to bring a carbon. Then he became a Mummer, he didn't. Then he went back to wanting to bring the carbon. So same thing, that he was a regular person, he had an interruption of being a Nasi, but now he's a regular person again, and he wants those to be Mitztarev, and we see from the case of Mummer, that it does not work. And since once he was that status in between, it's pushed off. So too here, since he was the Nasi in the middle, even though both his eatings, the half of Kezias was before he became a Nasi and the other half afterwards, we say that it's pushed off. So the Gemara says, so therefore we want to say that that's how we would learn the answer to this question. So the Gemara says, Hachi Ashto, what kind of comparison is that? That's not a good comparison, and we cannot learn from the case of Mummer. Why? Because Mummer lav bar asfiyah carbon hu. A Mummer is in a category where he cannot bring any carbon. So therefore, he's entirely removed from the whole parsha, the whole category of bringing a carbon, a Mummer. But hi, bar asfiyah carbon hu. But this guy, you have the person, he was a regular person, then he was a Nasi, then he was a regular person again. At every stage in that category, he is someone who is relevant to the halachas of carbon. Now it is true that his status as carbon changed because originally he would be a kizba v'seira, then he goes to the satyr while he's a Nasi, and then he goes back to the kizba v'seira, but throughout that process, he was someone who was relevant to the halachas of carbon. So therefore you cannot compare the case of Mummer and the case of someone who became a Nasi and then was over from the Nasius. So the Gemara leaves off without answering that question. Okay, boy mine Reb Zera me Reb Sheshes. So Reb Zera asked Reb Sheshes, and again, building on the scenarios that we're building here, he asked him the following question. Achol safek chelev kishu hedyet. So he ate something that he thought was regular meat that he's allowed to eat. And it turns out that this meat had become mixed up, and it was unclear as to whether it was chelev or it was shuman, whether it was something that he's chayev kares or it was something permitted. So what would be the ordinary case when someone eats something that they don't know whether it was a chayev kares? He would bring an ashim, he would bring an ashim taloi, right? So in this case, he ate something such that it would ordinarily be mechayev and ashim taloi, but before he finds out that this was safek chelev and nismane, he became appointed king. V'nodalo al sveko, and then he gets told, by the way, that meat you ate when you were a regular person before you were appointed king, we're not sure. Maybe it was chelev, maybe it was shuman. So mahu, what's the halacha? So we say, Aliba the Rabbanon, the Azli Basar Chata Loiti Boilach. So according to the Rabbanon, who say that the critical question is, what status was he at the time he did the chet? And that's what determines the carbon. So then it's easy. You say, look, he was, at the time he ate the meat, he became mechayev in Ashim Talui. And therefore he's gonna be mechayev in Ashim Talui. We don't care that he became appointed king afterwards. Demaisi Ashim Talui. Elakiti Boilach. But when do I ask you the question? Aliba the Reb Shimon. I ask you according to Reb Shimon, because here are the two sides. You say me deshtani levadai ishtani lesafik. So on the one hand, you could say, look, a chatas and an ashim taloi are two sides of the same coin. A chatas is if you know for sure, an ashim taloi is if you don't know for sure, and it's a safik. And since we know that when he becomes a king and he's changed from being a regular person to being a king, that he's no longer in the category of bringing a chatas. So just like he's no longer in the category of bringing the chatas, he's no longer in the category of bringing the ashim taloi. Those are basically the same things. Odilmor, or what would be the argument to say that the case of ashim taloi, because again, remember, we dealt with things before and after he's appointed already, but why would ashim taloi be different? Ki ishtani levadai di ishtani karben di day. Aval hacha dlo ishtani karben di day, ema laisi ashim taloi. He says that when do we say that he's a changed person, and that he can no longer, in other words, his change in status says he can no longer bring a carbon, maybe that's only by a regular chatas, because what happens, that in as relates to halachas of regular chatas, at first when he's a regular person, he's in the category of having to bring a kizbo seira, and then when he becomes the king, he's now relevant to bringing a sayer. So not only did his status change, but his carbon changed. But, aval hacha dlo yishtani carbon didei, but we know that the halach of an ashim taloi is still relevant to a nasi even after he becomes a nasi. In other words, that carbon does not switch. So granted, his status changed from being a regular person to becoming a king, but unlike a chatas where his carbon changes from a kizbo seira to a satyr, in this case, he was bringing an aisle before when he was a regular person, and he's bringing an aisle when he is the nasi. So therefore, maybe I would say that he should still bring the ashim taloi. And so, is an ashim taloi different than a regular chatas? The Gemara leaves off teiku. Okay, last thin line. Taner Rabbanan. So we learned before the words me'am aretz from the amaretz prat lemum. We learned before that it excludes a kohen mashiach and that it excludes a nasi, a king. But now we're saying those same words, me'am aretz, prat lemumer, comes to exclude a mumer, that a mumer is not in the category of someone who can bring a carbon. Rav Shimon, Rav Yossi, Amar Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon, Rav Yossi learns the same halacha that a mumer is excluded, but he learns it from a different pasuk. We actually, you might remember, we learned this daf beis, I think, at the beginning of Harius. So the pasuk says, "Asher lo se asena bishgaga va'ashem," that he says that which should not be done, he did the avera bishgaga by accident va'ashem, and he's guilty. So their emphasis is on the element that it was a mistake here. The Rashi in Chulin, which is the main sugi here, Chulin Daf Hei, explains a little more fully the words Asher lo sei asena, that it should not be done. So normally we read it that way, that he did an action that shouldn't be done. The way Rashi learns that Asher lo sei asena is that which he does not do, meaning that when is it relevant to for him to bring a carbon chatas, is when he does an action that would be chayav karis if it was bemezid, and it's an action that he's not ordinarily in the habit of doing, i.e., he's a regular person, he's not a mummer, he's not someone who regularly does this avera. But in other words, that if he's someone who regularly does this avera, and you can't say that this is a departure from ordinary practice, we would say that the halachas of a chatas don't apply to him. That's the second limud. So therefore we say, Hashav bi yediyaso may be carbon ashigigaso, lo shav bi yediyaso eno may be carbon ashigigaso. So he says, so therefore, someone, if you would tell him, when he would find out that he did something wrong, he would say, or if you would tell him before he's doing it, you know that that's wrong what you're about to do. That's a piece of chaylev. If he would stop and not eat it, so that's the kind of person who can become a chay of a carbon chatos. But if he's the kind of guy who would say, nah, I'll eat it anyway, and it just so happens to be that this particular time, he might not have. So in that case, we say, sorry, you can't bring a carbon chatos, because at the end of the day, you are a mumer. Okay, so one limud is from me'am aretz, and the other is from asher lo se asena. So we have two limudim, each telling us that a mumer is not eligible to bring a carbon. So the Gemara asks, second wide line, my benaya, what's the difference between these two views? Amar Rav Hamnuna says, mumer lechol chelev, umevi carbon al adam ikke benayu. That the distinction between where you learn out these psukim would be relevant in the case of someone who is a mumer to eat chelev, meaning that he eats chelev. That's, you know, he likes chelev. And that he doesn't keep the Torah, but he doesn't eat dam. So what happens if he eats dam by accident, in a case where someone would normally become mechuyev achatas? So that's the case of kibinai, that's between them. Mar savar, the Tanakama holds, kiman de mumer lecho chelev, ledam nami mumer have. That he says that since he's a mumer, he's someone who rejects the Torah as relates to chelev, so therefore he rejects it as relates to dam. Even though, and then the fact that he doesn't eat dam is not because he's not a mumer; it's because maybe he doesn't like dam. But at the end of the day, this is a person who does not keep the Torah, and therefore, according to the Tanakama, we would not accept a carbon from him on a chatas for eating dam. And the other Rav Shimon Rav Yossi, who says the name of Rav Shimon, he says, no, at the end of the day, this guy is a mumer as relates to chelev, and therefore he can't bring a chatas for chelev, but he's not a mumer as relates to dam. Dam is something that he avoids, and therefore we would not consider him a mumer, and we would accept his carbon. So Gemara asks, Vaharava Amar. Rava says, the kuli am a mumer lechol chelev lo avim mumer ladam. Everyone says that someone who is a mumer to eat chelev is not a mumer to eat dam. So you just said that that's the case we're talking about. But according to Rava, everyone, even the Tanakama, agrees that the mumer status does not carry over. Just to clarify, what was the havamina here? So in other words, generally speaking, both of these opinions would hold that a mummer for one avera is not a mummer lekol Torah kula. If someone's a mummer for that particular thing, there's a mummer in that. So why would I think it was different? The reason is because chelev and dam are brought in the same pasuk. So you might have thought that those are linked in some fashion, and then therefore they were arguing about this particular case. Do we say they're linked? So according to the Tanakhama, they are, and if he's a mumer lechelev, he's a mumer adam. And Rav Shimon was saying, no, they're not linked, even though they're in the same pasuk. That was the Havamina. But then the Gemara says from Rava, that Rava's of the opinion that everyone holds that a mumer lechelev is not a mumer adam. So therefore, what's the case that's the distinction between these two limudim, between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi, or Rav Shimon Rav Yossi? The Gemara says, Elohacha, ba'ocha nevela l'teyavon, meneschalef lo b'shuman va'achlu kamifugi. They're arguing about the following case. You had a guy here who was a mummer l'teyavon. So what is that? There's two kinds of mummers. You have a mummer l'teyavon and a mummer l'hachas. A mummer l'teyavon is someone, he's a bal taiva. He wants to eat, you know, he likes some filet mignon or something that he likes, and therefore he's going to go and eat it because he has that taiva. But he's not doing it because he's trying to start up with the Rabbanu Shalom. He just has a taiva that he's pursuing. Versus a mumer lahachis is someone who eats it because they're trying to make a point to the Rabbanu Shalom, say, your Torah says not to eat it, I'm going to eat it. How do you generally tell the difference between a mumer l'teyavon and a mumer lahachis is as follows. A mumer l'teyavon is the kind of guy who says, look, I like to eat, this kind of meat. If there's kosher meat, I'll eat kosher. But if there's no kosher, I'm going to eat the non-kosher meat. So that's a guy who be'etzem tries to keep the Torah. It's just that his taiva gets in the way and he's going to eat it. But a mumer lahachis is a guy who says, I see the kosher piece of meat here, but I'd rather eat the treif meat. So that's the guy who's a mumer lahachis. So in any event, what we're talking about here is you have a guy who's a means that when there's kosher meat, he eats kosher meat. But when there's treif meat, he'll eat treif meat too. But what happens in this case, he thought what he was eating was a piece of kosher meat, and it turns out that in fact it was a chalev. So ordinarily, when someone thinks they're eating a piece of kosher meat, and it turns out that it was chalev, that they bring a carbon chatas. But in this case, the question is, since he's the kind of guy who, if the kosher meat wasn't there, would eat treif meat, do you say that he's a mumer, and therefore he can't bring the carbon even when he makes a mistake? So Marsavar, the Tanakhama holds, kivan de lo teyavon acho bebezid mumerhu. The Tanakhama holds that, look, at the end of the day, this guy is a mumer as relates to chalev, because all the time he eats chalev whenever there's no kosher meat available. So therefore he's a mumer, and we do not accept as a carbon. Mar Savar, Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon holds kivan de ilu eshkach at the tera lo achad isura, that since if he could find kosher meat, he would eat it, and he would not eat the isura la mumerhu. So therefore, he's not necessarily a mumer, and when he thinks he's eating kosher meat, and it turns out that it's not kosher, he should be able to bring a chatos, because at the end of the day, he's not a mumer in the category of nevela that would apply in this case. Okay, so that's the distinction between the two limudim, whether we learn it out from Me'am Aretz or from Asher Lo Se'asena, the distinction, that's the case that distinguishes them. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, six lines down of the wide lines. Acho Chelev, someone who eats Chelev, Zehu Mumer. This is a Mumer. Ve'ezehu Mumer, the Gemara is going to ask, this doesn't make sense, but the Brisa continues, Ve'ezehu Mumer, who's a Mumer? Och Nevelos, Ve'trefos, Shkatsim, Ramashim, Sasha Yain, Nesach. Someone who eats nevela, which is an animal that died, that did not have proper shchito, treifas that had one of the problems that makes an animal a treifa that you can't eat even if it's shechted properly, shkachim or mushrim are creepy crawly things, and or he drank yain nesach. So we say that's a mumar. And Rabbi Yehuda says af halovish klayim, even someone who wears klayim. Okay, so that's the braisa. Now we're going to analyze it. Amar mar. Acho chelev, the brisa starts by saying, someone who eats chelev, zehu mumer. That's a mumer. The brisa then continues, says, ve'zehu mumer. So the Gemara is going to ask, we just said what a mumer was. It's someone who eats chelev. And now you're saying, what's a mumer? Och nevelos, shreifa shkatsum ramashim. So Mike Armor, what's the brisa saying? It asks, what's a mumer? It says, here's what's a mumer. Then it says, what's a mumer? And gives a different answer. So I'm Rabba Bar Rabchana, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi Kamar. This is what it's saying. Acho chelev l'teyavon. So he says the first part, the Ocho chelev, that's a mummer. And then when it says, who's a mummer? That's all part of one opinion of Tanakama. It says follows. Ocho chelev l'teyav on harez a mummer. If someone eats chelev, because whenever, you know, whenever he doesn't find kosher meat, that's a mummer. Lahachis, if someone eats, lahachis harez a tzduki. This is a tzduki. Now you see that, some of the girsos, learn, that if you look at Masar Sashas, learn that it's a min. A min is, someone who's like a heretic. But in any event, what we're dealing with, as Rashi points out, is we're dealing with someone who is, chashud on Avodah Zarah. And there's a difference, there's a number of distinctions between someone who's a mummer versus a tzeduki. For example, what happens if they write a Sefer Torah, whether you have to burn it or not, and what happens if they shecht an animal, whether under any circumstances the shechita of a mummer could be valid, but the shechita of a tzduki or a min would not be valid. So we're saying that someone is a mummer l'teyavon, that when there's kosher meat he eats it, but when there's treif meat he'll eat it if there's no kosher meat. That is a mummer. Someone who eats treif meat, even when there's kosher meat, he's a tzduki or a min. Vezehu mummer debestama tzduki. So, and the Bryce is continuing. He says, who's the kind of mummer that you can assume that he is a tzduki? Havi omer, you could say that that's ochon nevelo treif ashkatzim ramashim esasa yayin nasach. So the Brisa is clarifying itself. So it was saying a mummer l'teyavon is an ochel nevela l'teyavon is a mummer. Someone who is an ochel nevela l'hachis is a tzduki. And who is someone you can assume he's a tzduki? Someone who eats trefus and nevelas, shkatzim and remashim and yayin nesach. That those are things that are disgusting. So shkatzim and remashim, it's obviously why they're disgusting. Tosis and Avodah Zarah discusses that the case of Nevelos and Trefos, we have to be talking about not where someone killed an animal nicely and didn't shecht it, because that a person would eat is not disgusting. We must be talking about an animal that got sick, and no one wants to eat an animal that got sick and withered away and died. That is disgusting. And a trefa could be someone, an animal that got one of these defects, like maybe its neck got broken, and it took a slow death. No one wants to eat it. The Mefarshim also discussed why is Yayin Nesach disgusting. Could be because simply understood is because you want to stay far away from Avodah Zarah. So in any event, if someone eats these things, let's just take the example of eating bugs. So clearly that he's not doing it for his desire. He's doing it because he's a mummer l'hachis. And if he's a mummer l'hachis, that makes him a tzeduki. So that whole category of the first part where it says, ocho chelev, zeh mummer, someone eats a chelev is a mummer. And then it's bringing an example of who is the one who's a tzeduki. That's where it brings the shkatzim or amashim. Okay? Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda Amar, af halovish klayim. Even someone who wears klayim. Someone who wears shatnez, clothing. So the Gemara asks, Maibinayu, what's the difference between them? Ikabinayu, klayim derabanan. So he says as follows, the Gemara's kasha is, as Rashi explains, klayim is a deraisa, trefa is a deraisa, so what's the difference between the Tanakama who says that he eats chelev l'teyavon, or he wears klayim? So the Gemara says, it could be nayu klayim derabanan, that the shatnes derabanan, there's certain kinds of things that are shatnes midaraisa, and others that are only midarabanan. So marasavar midaraisa ave momor derabanan loy ave momor. So one opinion would hold that if you do something that's an issa deraisa like chelev, that's when you're a mummer. But if you do something derabanan, you're not a mummer. That would be the Tanakama. Omar Savar and Reb Yossi, Reb Yehuda is coming to tell you the case of klayim. Be klayim kiven the mefarsim isurei afilu derabanan have a mummer. And he's coming to say even if it's only a derabanan. For example, there are cases of shatness that is well known that it is Asr midrabanan, so we'll say that makes someone into a mummer. Presumably, you can infer that if it's not as well known, that would not necessarily make him a mummer. Okay, please. So that's the distinction between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Pligi b'Rav Acha Ravina, Chad Amar l'teyavon mummer l'haches tzeduki. So Rav Acha Ravina had the machlokas. Excuse me. One says that if someone does something l'teyavon because he has a taiva that makes him a mumer. If he does a lahaches, meaning that he could have kosher meat and he chooses to eat non-kosher meat, that's a tzeduki. That's what we learned before according to Rabbi Yochanan. The charam or the others of the opinion, lahaches nami mumer. Even someone who is ochen avelas lahaches, he does something to kind of get back at the Rabbanu Shalom, he is still just a mumer, he's not a tzeduki. Ela ezeu tzeduki, what does it take to be considered in the category of a tzeduki or a min? Kola oved avodis kochavim, someone who actually serves avodah zara. So we have a distinction about mumer lahaches, that is someone who's a ochel lahaches, he eats the vela lahaches, is he a mumer like the first view, is he a tzeduki like the first view, or is he only a mumer like the second view, and in order to become a tzeduki, he would need to do avodah zara. That's machlokas. So Meisr, the Gemara asks on the view, that someone who does a lahaches is a tzeduki, as follows. Sorry. He says, "Acho parosh echad a yitush echad." If someone ate a flea or a gnat, these little flying things, a yitush echad, he's a mummer. He's a mummer. Now the Gemara asked, "V'ha'achad lahachesu v'kakar le mummer." So we're arguing about whether a lahaches person is a mummer or a tzeduki. He says, someone who eats a gnat is obviously a lahachesnik. Why? Because no one has a taiva to eat a gnat. So therefore, it must be that he's a lahaches, and yet the Braisa tells us that he's a mummer, not a tzeduki. So this is a kasha on the first view, which says that someone who's lahaches is a tzeduki and not a mummer. So the Gemara says, no, people could have a taiva for a gnat. Why? Hasam da amar etam tam di isura. That the guy, it's true that he wants, and this is an interesting chiddush, in other words, he does want to do something that's the keneged the Torah, but that doesn't necessarily, at the end of the day, he's still doing it because he has a taiva. In other words, it's the fruits of the forbidden tree. He says, oh, I'm not allowed to eat the gnat, so I really have a taiva to try out Isser to do something wrong, but he's not trying to start up with the Rabbanu Shalom. He just has a taiva for something that's forbidden. So granted, he doesn't get pleasure from it because it's not fun to eat a gnat, but he's kind of thinking to himself, look, I'm not allowed to eat it. I want to try it. But the Rabbanu Shalom is not part of the cheshbon. He's not trying to get back at the Rabbanu Shalom or saying, I reject you. He's just saying, I have a taiva for a gnat. I have a taiva to do something that's in Isser. All right, so we leave off with that machlokas. Okay, Vezon Nasi Zemelech. So the Mishnah went out and explained that a Nasi is a reference to the king. Here's what we're going to learn where. How you learn that. Atan Rabban Nasi. When it says Nasi brings a carbon, that he brings a Sa'ir rather than a Siro Kizba. Yachol Nasi Shevet Kenachshe Ben Aminadav. Maybe a Nasi means a prince. Like we had the Nasiim in the time of the Mishkan. Like Nachshon Ben Aminadav. So I might think that's what it means when it talks about a Nasi. Because it says the Nasi brings his special carbon, but it doesn't explain who a Nasi is. Talmud Omer, therefore it says, Mikol Mitzvos Hashem Elokav, that the Pasuk that's written in Vayikra, where it talks, in Vayikra Dalet, where it talks about the Nasi bringing his special carbon, says, Asher Nasi Yechta, that the Nasi sins, V'asa Achaz Mikol Mitzvos Hashem Elokav, and he does one of the Mitzvos of Hashem, his God, Asher Lo Se'asena, that should not be done, right? Ulahalan Hu Omer, and later, in the Parsha of Malchus, where it talks about Som Tasim Alecha Melech, that you should appoint a king, it says Leman Yilmod LeYiras Hashem Elokav, that it talks about that he should have the pasuk says that he should have the Sefer Torah with him. Ha'isa Imo should be with him in Karabol Kol Yimei Chayav, and he should read in that Sefer Torah all the days of his life. Leman Yilmod LeYiras Hashem Elokav, so that he'll learn to fear Hashem his God. So you see this language of Hashem Elokav, both by the Nasi, carbon Nasi, and Oran Amabez, and by a king. So just like in the case of a Melech, we're talking about someone who has above him only Hashem is God, but he has no human being above him. Af Nasi, so too Nasi, which uses that same language of Hashem Elokav, when he brings a special carbon of his Sayyir, Shein Agabov El Hashem Elokav. It's someone who only has Hashem is God above him. Okay. Rabbi asked Rabbi Chia, he was talking to him, he says, Kigon ani, mahu besahir. So Rabbi Yehuda, Nasi, Rabbi, he asked Rabbi Chia, he says, let me ask you a question. At the end of the day, I'm a Nasi. There's, you know, that maybe if the Beis HaMikdash was standing today, if I made a calculation, a mistake, that I should have to bring the carbon sahir as a Nasi, because I'm a Nasi. Amar Leh, Rabbi Chia answered him, Haret Sarascha beBavel. your competitor is in Bavel. Tzara, we know, like, for example, is the language we use when someone has two wives. The wives are tzaras to each other. So he says, your tzara is in Bavel, meaning the resh galusa. So he says the resh galusa is in Bavel, who's above you. But he just says, tzaraska, your competitor, as if they're on the same level. So Rebbe says back to him, Eisvei. So the way Rebbe understood it is he's saying, there's two of you. And if there's two kings, neither one could bring a carbon. So he says, but that's not true. Eisvei, Malchei Yisrael, Malchei Beis David, Eilum Evin La'asman, Ve'ilum Evin La'asman. We have a brisa that says that at the point that there was kings of the Ten Shvatim and there were kings, there were Malchus Beis David, that you see when there were two Jewish kings, they would each bring a carbon of a Nasi, even though there were two kings. So he said, what difference does it make if there's the Reish Galusa and me are both around, but we're both Nasiim? Let us both bring a carbon. Amrlei, Hasam la Kaifia Adadi, Hocha Anan Kaifinan Lahula Didhu. He says that neither of them were subject to each other. When they had Malchei Yisrael and Malchei Beis David, they were independent. One was not on top of the other, and therefore they could both bring a carbon. But we are subject to the Reish Galusa. So basically, he was saying, Reb Chiya was saying back to Rebbe, sorry, there's someone above you because the Reish Galusa is above you. Reb Safra Masni Hachi. Reb Safra learned the discussion was a little different. Rebbe asked Reb Chiya, Kigon Ani Ma'al B'Sayer, what would be the halacha? Am I a Nasi who would have to bring a carbon Sayer? Amalei, Hasam Shevet, Hacha Mechokek. He says there, in Bavel, they're considered a Shevet. The Shevet is a stick. And hacha, but here in Eretz Yisrael, we're considered a mechokek. A mechokek is a chok, is a law. Someone who makes laws. V'tanya, and we learned in the Braisa, lo yasar shevet mi Yehuda, zerash goylo shebebavel, that when it says, that the pasuk says that the shevet should not be removed, the stick should not be removed from the shevet of Yehuda, that's a reference to the Rosh Gola in Bavel, Sherodes Yisrael b'makel, who rules Klal Yisrael by force with a stick. Mechokek mi bein ragla, pasuk continued, and the person who makes the laws from among his legs, meaning from his progeny, that there will always be mechokeks. Eilu b'nei banav shel Hillel shemalamdim tar Yisrael barabim. These are the children and grandchildren of Hillel who teach Torah to Klal Yisrael barabim. And what was Hillel? Hillel was the Nasi. So you see that the Reish Galusa is considered the Shevet, while the Nasi is considered just a Mechokek. And so therefore, you would not be considered, in our same idea, he was answering him that the Reish Galusa at the end of the day is above you, and therefore you would not be relevant to being a Nasi, the bringing the carbon of a Nasi. That's what Reb Chiya answered Rebbe. Okay, Mishnah. Be'ezel HaMashiach, we've been talking about a Kohen Mashiach. Who is that? HaMashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. Someone who was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Lo HaMarubo B'Gadim. Not someone who simply became Kohen Gadol by putting on the eight garments of a Kohen Gadol. So we know that in the at the very end of the first base of Mikdash, by Yehoya, we know that at the very end of the first place of Mikdash that they hid away the Shemen HaMishcha, and therefore in the second base of Mikdash, everyone who became a Kohen Gadol only was a Kohen Merubah B'Gadim. So we're saying that all the time we talk about Kohen Mashiach is talking about someone who actually got the oil anointment and not just someone who was put up in the role and given the clothing. And there's no difference between the one who's anointed or not, Ela para bar kol mitzvos, except for this issue, that if someone brings whether he's relevant to bringing the par kohen mashiach is only if he's mashuach. And Rashi says also whether he as a kohen gadol can be the one who delivers the par halam davar shel tzibor. But basically, the idea is that's the one major distinction, is this special part of a Kohen Gadol applies only to Mashuach B'Shemen, but the one who is just Merubah B'Gadim, otherwise they're the same with the exception of this one thing of whether they bring the special carbon of the Kohen Mashiach. Ve'im ben Kohen Meshamesh L'Kohen Shavar, and there's no difference between the Kohen who's serving and the Kohen who's passed. What is this talking about? So let's say he had a Kohen Gadol, and he was, something happened, he became Tomei. So they appoint a second guy while the first guy is the first Kohen Gadol is out of commission. When the first Kohen Gadol becomes Tahar again, he resumes his job. So the first Kohen is the Kohen Meshamish, the one who's now serving. The one who had temporarily been Kohen Gadol was considered a Kohen Avar, a Kohen Sha'avar. He was removed from his post. He was temporarily Kohen Gadol, and then he was removed to no longer be Kohen Gadol. So we're gonna see that he really has the status of a Kohen Gadol for many purposes. But what's the only difference between them is Par Yom Kippurim, Vasir Seifa. The par that's brought on Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol brings for him and the Kohanim for purposes of atoning for Tumas Mikdash and Kedoshav, that has to be the primary Kohen Gadol has to bring. And the Asir Se'efa is the Minchas Chavitin. We learned about the Minchas Chavitin recently because we talked about the fact that that's the flour carbon he brings, and he can't bring the Dalei Dalos carbon. But in any event, this is the Chavitin that he brings every day. Those things have to be done by the primary Kohen Gadol. But everything else, Zevez HaShavim, they're equal by Avodas Yom Kippurim with anything other than the power of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, meaning only a Kohen Gadol can do the Ketores or whatever, but either one of them could do that. Umitzuvim ala basula, neither of them are allowed to marry anyone other than a basula. Vasurim ala amana, and they can't marry a widow. Now you might ask how a widow is not a basula. So obviously we've talked about this, that where you have a woman who had erisin and not nesuin, she's considered an amana, but she's still a basula because she never consummated the marriage, but yet she's not eligible for a kohen gadol. They're both mitzuvah not to take an amana. Veinu metamim bekroveim. We know a regular kohen can be metamet to his zayin krovim, to his seven closest relatives, but a kohen gadol cannot. So neither of these, not the primary, not the secondary one, can be metame. V'lo parim, they don't grow their hair long over when someone dies. V'lo parim, they don't tear their clothes. U'machzir naratzeach. We know the halacha is that if a kohen gadol dies, that all the people in the Ari Mikloch get out. So therefore, either one of these people die, the people get out of the Ari Mikloch. Tana Rabbanan Shadrach Mishnah Shasa Maishav Mimibar Hayishokim Bo Etzaikarim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, how was the Shemen HaMishcha made? They would boil the roots, because we talk about Besamim Rosh Mardrar, there's all these things, all these roots you bring together with olive oil to make the Shemen HaMishcha. So what would they do? They would boil these roots in the oil. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says, V'halo lasach etzaikar meina sofik. There's not even enough to like rub on the roots in order to get the flavor of the roots. There's not even enough oil for that, much less to boil. If you're going to boil, there's only 12 lugin of oil. If you're going to boil it in all these roots, the roots are going to absorb the oil, and there's going to be no Shemen HaMishcha. So Ella, rather, how would you make the Shemen HaMishcha? Sharnes HaKarmim Mayim, that you would soak the roots in water so that they would fill up and become non-absorbent because they're filled with water. Umatzef alav shemen, and then only once they were filled and non-absorbent, you would pour oil on it. The kolet es areyach, and they would take, the oil would pick up the, a little bit of the flavor of these roots. The kapcho, and then he would immediately wipe it off and put it, and that's how he made the shemen amishcha. So you can't boil the roots in the oil because the oil would all be gone. You have to go through this elaborate procedure of quickly getting the oil on there and then getting it off with a little bit of the flavor. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said back to Rabbi Yossi, v'chineis echad nasa b'shemen ha-mishcha. He says, was there only one nase done with the shemen ha-mishcha? Mahalo t'chilaso shnei masor lugin. There was only 12 lugin of oil to start with. Umimenu hayin nimshach mishkan v'kelov. They used the shemen ha-mishcha to anoint the mishkan and the kelim and the mishkan. Aaron abanav koshav yisimei ha-miluim. During the 7 inaugural days of the Mishkan, Aaron and his sons were each anointed every day. V'kulo kayim l'asid lavo. And yet, despite the fact that you started with 12 lugin, you had to prepare them with these roots that are absorbent. You had to use it for the Mishkan, you had to use it for Aaron and his sons, and yet, l'asid lavo, there's gonna be 12 lugin of oil left. Shenemar, as it says, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, yezel li l'darasechem, that this Shemen and Mishchas will be for me, the Rabban Shalom says, l'darasechem, for your generation. So that tells you that in the future, there's still going to be 12 lugin of Shemen. So Rabbi Yehuda says, there's lots of nisim that happen with the Shemen HaMishcha, that it stays whole over all those years and all those uses. So therefore, it can also be that you boil it and somehow the roots would not absorb the oil. So that's no proof. Tanya Idach, a similar b'risa, v'yikach Moshe Shemen HaMishcha, v'yimshach et HaMishcha v'yas kol asher bo, that the pasuk says that Moshe did the Meshicha on the Mishkan, and on his kelim. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shem and Amishka Shasa Moshe B'Midbar, that Shem and Amishka the Moshe made in Midbar, Kama Nisim Nasubol B'Tchilu V'Atzof, that there lots of Nisim were done with it, Tchilasa Lohaya L'Shnei Masar Lugin, that there was only 12 Lugin of oil to begin with, Ra'a Kama Yara Bala, see how much a pot absorbs. We've been talking about that in Avodah Zarah a lot. The pot absorbs some of the oil, the kama ikarim bolim, and how much these roots absorb, the kama or soref, and how much the fire burns off, that it evaporates, ubol nimshach mishkan v'kelov, and yet we use it to anoint the mishkan and kelim, iron and bottom kosher v'zimei meluyim, you use it to anoint Aaron and sons, ubol nimshach kohanim gedolim u'malachim, and with it you anointed kohanim gedolim and malachim. Now the Gemara, the Brice is going to take a little detour here and say as follows: Vafil Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol toin Mashika, and every Kohen Gadol, even if his son becomes a Kohen Gadol, they still need Mashika. Vein Moshkin Melech ben Melech, but a son of a king who becomes a king does not need Mashika. So it's just we reference the fact that the Shem and Amishka was used for Kohanim Gadolim and Melachim. So we're saying there's a distinction between a Kohen Gadol and a Melech. That if the son of a Kohen Gadol becomes a Kohen Gadol, he needs Mashiach. And if the son of a Melech becomes a Melech, he does not need Mashiach. V'im Tomer, so you'll ask me, Mipnei ma mashku Shlomo. So then why did Shlomo? Shlomo was obviously the son of David and Melech. So why did he need Mashiach? We see in the Pesukim that he in fact had Mashiach. We say, Mipnei machlokuso shel Adon Yo. Because we know that his brother Adon Yo wanted to become the king. So in order to prove that he was the king, you use the Shem and Mishcha. Or actually, we're going to see that when there's a machlokus, that severs the continuation, and you need to start anew by having Shem and Mishcha. Yes, Yoash mipnei asal. That Yoash was the one that they hid him away. He was the last one of the Malchus Beis David. Asalya had killed off all of Malchus Beis David. So again, because there was a challenge on the kingship, and he was brought about to show his legitimacy, he had to be anointed, even though he came from the Davidic line. Yes, Yehoyachaz. When Yehoyachaz, the son of Yoshio, became the king, he had to be anointed. Bimpnei Yehoyakim, Shayagadim Menashtei Shanim, that because his brother Yehoyakim was 2 years older than him, so to prove that he's the right king, they did the Mashiach. But generally speaking, a Melech ben Melech does not need it. Also, Shemen, and the Brisa continues, so now we're back on the topic of the Shemen HaMishchav. Also, Shemen Kayim Lasid Lavo, and that oil is remains forever. Shenemer Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Yazelilu Darasechem. That again, that the Shem and Mishcha is still going to be 12 lugin, even in the time of Mashiach. And Zeh, when it says, yes, Zeh li l'dorasechem, this will be for me l'doras, Zeh b'gmatcha shneimasur lugin have, that Zion is 7, Hey is 5, that's 12, that is still going to be 12 lugin. Okay, I could either record the rest or start early tomorrow, I don't care. Okay, I'll record the rest and we'll send it out. Sorry for not quite finishing.